This morning we're going to talk about spiritual law. Spiritual law. Remember, we say the word says God cannot lie. So what we're going to read here, what we're going to study here, take it as gospel. Take it as fact. Understand it. It's from the Word of God. I ask you to take some spiritual Q-tips and clean out your ears. Take some spiritual murine and salve your eyes, that you see what's in God's Word, that you hear what God's Word says, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Then take what you hear and you mix it with faith. God doesn't make it grow. You mix it with faith and it goes deep within you. Then it grows because it's one of God's spiritual laws. Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 1, and this is out of the New King James Version. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask your anointing on me this morning. I thank you for the beautiful Spirit in this place today. I thank you, Lord, and I ask for confirmation of your word with signs and wonders following in Jesus' name. There's a few things in here that I want to get your mind and your eyes to look at. Verse 2 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. We understand the law of sin and death because sickness, disease, separation, anguish, pain, poverty are all part of the law of sin and death, the curse. But if you look at the first part of that verse, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus. There is just as much a spiritual law of life in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of life is a spiritual law. On the one hand, we know because we were born into sin and we were born to receive the recompense of Adam's sin and yes, our sin as well. We were born into that and we had to be born again out of that. And there's just as much a spiritual law that happens when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we believe in, okay, I'm not going to burn forever. I get to be on a cloud somewhere with a depends on and a harp. Look at the art pictures. What do people think they're going to do? For 1,000 years, they're going to learn how to play the harp. No. God says you have eternal life now. Everlasting life now. The Spirit of life is now. Jesus came that you might have life and that more abundantly. The second half of John 10:10. It's a spiritual law of life. When you read the same verses out of the Amplified, there is therefore now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus. How many in here know the Lord? He's your Savior. There's no condemnation. No judgment of guilty. There's an accuser of the brethren that tells you you are, tells you you're worthless, tells you you're this, tells you you're that. But you are not that because you have changed. Verse 2 in the Amplified Classic says, for the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? If you're saved, you are. If you've asked Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're now part of his body. The law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed us from the law of sin and death. Law of sin and death. Freed you. If you're free, you're not bound by it anymore. You're not tied to it anymore. It has no effect on you anymore. You think of a freedom from bondage. In our minds, in our lives, you see somebody that, a couple that's married and they get a divorce. Once it's final, the court says you're now free. You think of that as a freedom. Well, it in our mind, that's the closest thing to a freedom, because we don't see people that are slaves being set free and now you're a freed man. You read our history where someone got their freedom, where the owner gave them their papers and they were free. I'm not condoning slavery. Slavery's been with us since well before our country ever started, well back in the Old Testament. But when someone got their freedom, they were no longer under that person's authority. That person could tell them to do something, but if they wanted them to do it, now they had to pay them. Or before, they could tell them to do it, and they did it because they were owned. We used to be owned by the enemy. We were under his authority. If he told us to do something, we had to do it. He could do whatever he wanted with us. Now, we're under Christ's headship. We've been purchased out of that. We've been set free. We don't have to follow that old obligation and that old ruler. God did away with that law. Christ didn't do away with it where now there is no law, because the law points out sin and shows you God's holiness in the difference between man and God. Christ fulfilled it, and we see that as we go through the different things of the tabernacle, how that he was in all parts of that, fulfilling every aspect of God's law and the service. And the way he did that was sending his son, his own son, in the guise of sinful flesh. And in other words, in the same type of body that we are born into, he was born in the same type of body, but yet without sin. And then he died on the cross as an offering for sin, not only for us, but for anyone and everyone that would believe. And he deprived the law of sin and death of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. Amen? So that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. You're fulfilling the requirements by being clothed in Christ's righteousness. He did it, now you're walking in it. You're not held accountable to that old curse, because he became the curse for you. I want to go to something that Jerry Savelle wrote this year, and I'm going to read as much as I can verbatim, but he goes to Joshua 1:8. I believe it scripture. There we go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and you shall observe that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For when you, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How many want to be prosperous? How many like being poor? How many like being sick? How many like being downtrodden? None of us. Prospering means that you don't have those things, that you have risen above that, that it doesn't affect you. You're not in that old law anymore. You're not in that old curse anymore, that you've been freed from it. Well, it says, for then you will make your way prosperous. You will make your way prosperous. How? By putting the word, the book of the law, God's word, in your mouth and meditating on it continually throughout the day and night. You ever watched a cow after they've been grazing? They lay down, and what do? It's called ruminate. What they ate while they were walking around, they sit down, and it goes from one stomach up to, they chew it, and it goes to another stomach, to their multiple stomachs. They re-chew what they chewed once, continuing to break it down, continuing to break it down into something that was usable for them. That's what this is talking about. continually going over that word over and over. And when you do that, you're going, my God, shall supply all your needs. Well, first of all, he's telling me that he's my God. He's not just some God somewhere, or the God, or the great God, and the untouchable God, but he's my God. Wow, that's personal. Shall supply. In other words, he's going to make a way. He's going to do something about it. And not just some of my needs, but all of my needs. And when you start breaking down the word and you start chewing on it and meditating on it and thinking on it and speaking it and going over it and over it and over it in your mind, it starts becoming richer and richer and richer and starts becoming something that can be useful for you. Jerry goes on to say, just as God has established physical laws, such as the law of gravity, so there are spiritual laws that have been set in motion by God. They're just as sure as physical laws. If I take this water bottle and I toss it in the air and it stays there, you'd all be amazed. What happened? Because the law of gravity says because I tossed it up, gravity says it's going to go to the floor and it'll land there and nobody would be amazed by, oh, it landed. It might be amazed if it, in the flip it landed on its bottom the way they do on the YouTube deals, that someone did the flip and it landed right instead of falling over. That you might be amazed with, but not amazed that it fell. If it floated around the room, everybody would be going, how are you doing that? Because you'd be amazed because the law of gravity had been suspended. Well, God's laws, physical laws, can be found in a physics book. They're there, they can measure them, they can touch them, they can teach them. You can go and reproduce them. His spiritual laws are found in the Word of God. Amen. In the Bible. Mm-hmm. Although it's God's will that you be fruitful, blessed, healing, and prosperous, there are some prerequisites to obtaining these blessings. These prerequisites are found in the Word of God, specifically in Joshua 1:8, which we just read. The spiritual law and its prerequisites found in this verse can be summed up simply by saying this: talking the word plus meditating on the word, acting on the word equals prosperity, wise dealing, and success. Talking on the word, meditating on the word, acting on the word equals prosperity, wise dealing, and success. Jerry went on to say that he'd applied this spiritual law consistently to his life and ministry for many years, and it never fails to produce the promised results. But the law wasn't just written for Jerry Savelle. It was written for you too. And when you begin to apply it to your own life, you can expect the same results. Then Jerry has this confession. This is a little short article, but he says, I make the quality decision today to study the Word of God concerning my areas of need. What were you saying this morning? Look up the various verses about a certain situation. We've said it before. Find the verses. You should have a notebook with, okay, this is the need up at the top, and this is what God says. Okay, here's another one. Here's healing. These are the sickness and disease. These are the scriptures about it. I make the quality decision today to study the Word of God concerning my areas of need. I believe the Holy Spirit reveal to me the spiritual laws I need to clearly see and put into practice so that I may obtain the victory in every area of my life. Yes. Now, this is a conscious decision that you make. You make that decision cognitively. In other words, you think, therefore you are. You put your mind into the Word of God and you start thinking that way and you start speaking that way, and what happens is the fruit of that. You know, God's Word has had these promises forever, ever since they've been written. And people have said, oh, you can't just think it or say it and it's going to happen or it's going to change things. I want to read to you most of an article that I read here recently that says, science explains what happens to someone's brain from complaining every day. The things that I share about complaining and depression, I want you to look at the flip side of it. Because what happens when you're complaining and depression, the opposite happens when you're confessing and you're positive. Thought changes structure. Norman Doidge, a Canadian-born psychiatrist and author of The Brain That Changes Itself, says, I saw people rewire their brains with their thoughts to cure previously incurable obsessions and trauma. With all of the advances in medical science and being able to do brain imaging and neuroscience, they can now say for certain that the brain is capable of re-engineering. The brain is capable of re-engineering, meaning changing the way that it functions. And they say, we are the engineers. You can re-engineer your brain. Some of the ways you can learn new things, life-changing things. You can increase your IQ. You can recover from certain types of brain damage. We can become emotionally intelligent. We can unlearn harmful behaviors, beliefs, and habits. On the other side of the coin, we can redesign our brain for the worse. Fortunately, thanks to our ability to unlearn harmful behaviors, beliefs, and habits, we can right the ship again. Don Habe, an early pioneer in neuroplasticity and neuropsychology, said, neurons that fire together wire together. Every thought that you have, including the thoughts I'm having while I'm speaking, there are neurons firing in my brain, and they're going down a certain pathway. The more my thoughts and my speech is going that direction, the more they fire together, the more they wire. See, in your arm, in your leg, in various parts of your body, you have a nerve that they can go and dissect out and find that nerve and show you that nerve. That if that nerve was cut, nothing happens beyond it. In the brain, you don't have nerves like that. You don't have a nerve that is a physical pathway. They are neurons. And so you have this little neuron and another one in front of it, another one in front of it. They are not physically connected. There is a space in between there, and there is liquid in there. One is dopamine, and what's the other? Serotonin. Serotonin and dopamine, and they carry the impulse across that space. But right beside it are other neurons, and so they're all packed in there together. And so you're going down this one path with a negative thought and negative thinking, and it's starting to fire that way as a propensity. Like you drive your car, you always go a certain way because that's how you get to where you're going. Other roads don't get there. Well, they do, but they go a roundabout way. Well, as you're thinking these negative thoughts going down this road, if you decide to change, no, I want to end up over here, I'm going to start speaking this way, you actually change that neurons. The other ones start firing. You take a detour in your brain. The more you do that, the more you start taking that path. They have found that someone with deep depression that starts working on positive thought and positive thinking and confession of positive things, things that are helpful, including, they say, meditation where you're thinking about your breathing and you're not thinking about the negative, you can change the way you think. They've taken people with deep depression and seen them elevate and change away from depressive thought. Complaining wires towards the negative bias in your life. So stopping complaining, choosing what you will say, and choosing to speak life instead of complaining rewires your brain over towards the positive side. This is science. They say, you can't name it and claim it. You can't speak it and it happens. What happens is it changes you. where you're always complaining over here, and God says, that's what you're planting, that's what you're going to get. You're planting those thoughts, you're speaking them, you're running down that highway. He says, don't choose death, choose life. Come over here and start speaking this way. Start talking this way. Meditate on the word. Get the word in your mouth and continually mutter it. Meditate on it. Speak it over and over and over again, and you start changing the way that you are. And guess what? He says, when you do, you will prosper. You won't be over there anymore. You will be over here. Can you talk your way out of a sin nature, out of the life of sin? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and he will be saved. You will be saved, right? You do with your mouth more than you know. Joshua 1, 8 and 9 in the New King James says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. It's not called the 10 suggestions. This isn't called a suggestion. God said, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So it's not just talking about it, it's learning from it, changing your way of thinking so that you start doing the things that you're saying. You start acting on it and becoming what you're reading, what you're saying, what you're finding in the Word. For then you will make your way prosperous. We're just looking at God and saying, God, prosper me, prosper me, prosper me. But he says, get the word in you and speak the word and choose life instead of death, and you will make your way prosperous. You will find the prosperous way, because you're not going to plant that negativity anymore. You're going to plant the positive bias. God makes it simple. Read the word. Speak the word. Observe and do the word. And the spiritual blessing is there. You can rewire your mind. We're told in the New Testament, you have the mind of Christ. And tells us to put on the mind of Christ. That is a changing of our mind. What does the word repent mean? To change your mind. Change your path. You were going this way, now go that way. We repent in our mind, we speak the word of God in our mind, it starts filling our heart, and it starts coming out of our mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As you get the word in you, get the word in you, get the word in you, instead of saying, I've got this bill I cannot pay, I've got this bill I cannot pay, I've got this bill I cannot pay, you start saying, oh, woe is me. But when you say, my God shall supply all my needs, according to his riches, not mine. His riches in Christ's glory. My God shall, not may, not could. Yeah, he can, but he shall. You start speaking the word and you start seeing there's a positiveness to what he's saying. And that's because he wants you to meditate on it. And he wants you to get the word in you, and you in the word, and the word in you, and you in the word, until it starts becoming alive to you. And next thing you know, you've changed your way of thinking. Joshua 1, 5 and 7, before the Joshua 8, 1, 8 and 9, Joshua 1, 5 through 7 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong, confident, and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land. He didn't say, I will give them the land. I will give you the land. You, he's talking to Joshua, shall cause this people to inherit the land. Okay? The inheritance is out there for the taking. But he told Joshua, you shall cause them to inherit the land, which I swore to your fathers to give to them. Only be strong and courageous, that you do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So you can't just speak the word, you have to do the word and choose to stay in the word. It's after this that he said, get the law in you and keep it in your mouth. Okay? How do you receive the inheritance that is yours? Get in the Word. Speak the Word. Keep it muttering in your mind, meditating on it, and you will start finding that you start receiving the blessings because that's what you're planting. You're planting the Word. God will make you to have favor and blessing with your neighbors and those around you. That's where it said, no man shall be able to stand before you at all the days of your life. You'll have your neighbors cutting your grass for you and not asking for gas money. You'll have people wanting to do things for you and you're like, why'd they do that? Just blessing and favor will happen because God's starting to do it. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Are you in Christ? Did the Word say that you've been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus? You're part of the body of Christ? Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing? You find a spiritual blessing in here? It's yours. You find a spiritual blessing in here? God says, I'm giving this to you. It's yours in Christ. In Christ. Receive it. Accept it. Believe it. Speak about it. Meditate on it. Do you doubt that you have these blessings? All of this is through Christ. He paid for it in his life that he lived, his death that he died, and the resurrection that he rose. He fulfilled all of the law and the prophets. God said, if you keep this word in your mouth, what did Christ do? He spoke the word. When the enemy came to him and tempted him, he spoke, it's written. He said, well, I can't do that. Put on Christ. He lived without sin. He said, I have a hard time living in sin. Put on Christ. He lived a sinless life. Oh, you don't know me. Sometimes I have times I want to take somebody's head off. Put on Christ. See, our righteousness is filthy rags. We lay that down and we say, guess what, God? I'm going to put on Christ today. I'm going to accept his free gift, his life, everything that he gave me. I am in Christ. Declare, according to Ephesians 1, that he has seated us together in heavenly places with him. You have all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In Christ. Yes. Receive them because they're yours. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to keep you from getting all these things. Mm-hmm. He wants to keep you from living a life and have it more abundantly. He lies to you. He gets you to complain. He gets you to start going down that negative road. You're planting dandelions, thorns, weeds. Repent. Change your mind. Rewire your mind. Get in the Word. Get the Word in you. And start speaking the things of the Word. And guess what happens? You start planting good seed. Uprooting the weeds. And Galatians 3:13 and 14 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He bought us back from the curse of the law. You are no longer under the curse of the law. The curse has no effect to you because he bought you from it. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Got that part? He redeemed you from the curse. And then it says that. In other words, God said all this in this verse to tell you the next piece. And it happens because this first was already accomplished. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Are you a Gentile? You were. Now you're part of the church, the body of Christ, if you're saved. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We sang this We sang this, the blessing of Abraham. You want to know what the blessing of Abraham is? Go read Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. Because you're keeping the word in you and because you're taking on Christ, you're fulfilling all of the law and the prophets because he did. Not because of what you did, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Not, it's not from what you did. It's because of grace that you receive this through faith. What he already did, you put it on, you get to receive it. It's your inheritance. It's what you get for being a child of God. The Amplified Classic takes this verse just a little bit different. It says, Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse, the doom of the law. The doom. We grew up knowing what gloom and doom was. Some people still live it. But he purchased us from the curse, the doom of the law, and his condemnation. By himself becoming a curse, as written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, is crucified, to the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing, the promise to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles so that we, through faith, might all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit. Have you received everything God's got for you? We haven't. We've only just begun to receive. But get in the Word and say, Lord, what do you have for me today? His mercies are new every morning. The blessings of Abraham are yours. Lend and not borrow. The above and not the beneath. The head and not the tail. The head leads, the tail follows. The head goes where things are happening, the tail wags behind. We're not the tail. We're not being wagged. We're in the lead. That's a promise. You have the blessings because you're in Christ Jesus. They're yours. They're your inheritance. Abraham saw Christ's day, and he lived in the blessing so much that the people in the community where he was at didn't want him to move to other pastures. They wanted him to stay around the area because he was blessed, and because he was blessed, they were blessed. You too can be so blessed that people say, oh, I don't want you leaving my neighborhood. You add something by being here. It's so great to live next to neighbors like you. Amen. You have the blessings of Abraham. They're yours. But inheritance requires that you accept it and understand what you have and do something about it. It could sit on the shelf. It doesn't do you any good. It could stay in the Word. It doesn't do you any good. When you said yes to Jesus, he provided all this for you. It's not something that you have to drum up and think up. He gave you the ability to rewire your brain from the things that you were doing or thinking or saying, that you get to choose to start saying it the other way, keeping the Word of God in your mind, and the Word will prosper you. It's there. It's available. We need to get the Word in us so that the Word can be fulfilled and that we receive that inheritance. Receive what Christ purchased for you today. Receive it and live in the blessings. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that this word be mixed with faith and go deep within us. That the blessings are on our doorsteps, Father. They're not out there somewhere in the great by and by. You've already provided them. It's already in the Word. We can claim our blessings according to the Word of God. I pray that each and every one of us, that you would bring to our remembrance scriptures that we can meditate on, scriptures that we can claim and stand on, that the inheritance be in our doorstep and not just on our doorstep. Lord, I speak blessing upon everyone here. Anyone on the internet that's listening to this message that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you too can have the blessings of Abraham in your life, the blessings that you find in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. You do that by asking Christ into your life as Lord and Savior. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, talking about Jesus, and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine. He did it because he loves us. Not just you alone, but all of us. And if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus is alive and sitting at the right hand of God the Father today, and you want Jesus to become your Savior and your Lord, just say, forgive me of my sins. Become my Lord. I confess you as Lord of my life today. And Father, hear these people's prayer. And then if you've done this, go to the contact page on our website. Send us an email through that contact page to let us know that you prayed this prayer today. We'd like to get in contact with you and make sure you find a good church in your area. We can lead and guide you to and direct you to finding those. But let us know. And we pray for you right now in Jesus' name that as you start this new walk, that you'll get in the Word and get the Word in you and start receiving the blessings of Abraham in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody have any needs this morning that's here in the congregation for us to pray over? The blessings of Abraham include salvation, healing, health, prosperity, deliverance, set free, nothing lacking, nothing missing, shalom, peace. Amen. Let's go ahead and go to the Berakit Kohanim. And let God put his name on you as this blessing is said over you.
Yeverik karadonai veishmurecha yaradonai panav elecha vechunecha yesa adonai panav elecha vesham lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom. Meditate on the word and rewire your brain. Amen.